Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. It is 3:08 p.m. The Senate Education, Finance, and Policy Committee will come to order. We have a quorum. Today, yes it is, my mic is way on. Today, we are going to hear from the department about their literacy plan. It is titled Minnesota Bold Literacy Plan. Commissioner Mueller is here to, she's online to do their presentation. You have a couple of things in the packet. I will preface by saying we met with the commissioner, Mr. Uni, about this, and I think there's some things in there that are good and workable, we can work with. So Commissioner Mueller, you here?
I am here, thank you.
Welcome to committee. Please introduce yourself, who you're with, and you may begin. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Senators, for the record, my name is Heather Mueller, Commissioner of Education. Thank you for the opportunity to present the Governor's Bold Literacy Plan, a comprehensive approach to building educator capacity, family engagement, database decision-making, and implementation. This truly provides the policy and funding supports to bridge the knowing and doing gap. I'd like to first briefly mention that the Bold Literacy Proposal is just one, albeit crucial, component of the Governor's Due North Plan. We've listened to students, parents, educators, and advocates, and time and again, we've heard that this multi-pronged approach to an education package is necessary for student success. For literacy programming to be successful, students need complementary and amplifying supports like more funding for English learners and universal meals, diversified teacher workforce, equitable early learning opportunities, and rigorous coursework, wraparound services. And there are just a few of the items that we hope that we can continue to have a conversation with you about this session with such a historic investment opportunity in front of us with the surplus and the federal funds available. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to present our Bold Literacy Plan. And with me today, I have Assistant Commissioner Bobby Burnham and Dyslexia Specialist Dr. Amy Schulting.
Thank you. Whoever would like to proceed, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. We can go to the next slide, please. So when we talk about Minnesota's Bold Literacy Plan, it really is a birth through grade 12 action plan for literacy achievement. It builds on educator and leader capacity to implement evidence-based practices based in the science of reading. It opens doors to family and community members in intentional, collaborative, and equitable partnerships. It leads in database decision making to inform instruction, educator development, and policy, and it drives the implementation and sustainability of comprehensive literacy systems within a Minnesota multi-tiered system of support framework. Next slide, please. Through that Minnesota multi-tiered system of support framework, our goal is to increase access to effective literacy experiences for all students, with a focus on those that are most underserved by ensuring that school leaders and educators are trained in the science of reading, effectively implement and measure instructional practices aligned to state standards, utilize data literacy to inform instruction, educator development, resource development, and deployment, as well as policy, and then to employ intentional family and community engagement strategies. What we want to be able to do is really focus in on providing the support to our schools and to our school educators and leaders to ensure that what we know about literacy, what we know about best practices, to build and reinforce their skills, and then also be able to provide ongoing coaching and support so that there is not a gap in implementation and we don't live in a space of the knowing doing gap. Next slide, please. We are going to hand it over to our colleagues to talk about the legislative budget proposals.
Okay, thank you so much. Again, I'm Amy Schulting, Dyslexia Specialist at MDE. And Chair Chamberlain and members of the committee, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you today about the Bold Literacy Plan. There are a number of legislative budget proposals to support bold literacy outcomes. The first proposal is to offer Science of Reading Academies to establish regional training and coaching capacity through MDE in collaboration and partnership with the Regional Centers of Excellence and the Minnesota Service Cooperatives. We know that building a regional infrastructure is critical to support teachers and to improve student outcomes. We imagine a literacy expert in each region supported by a regional team to ensure that teachers receive training in the science of reading and that they receive the support they need to implement this learning in their classrooms. The second critical proposal is to improve literacy data collection and analysis. Minnesota's Bold Literacy Plan focuses on data and the importance of using data to drive instruction and to guide literacy efforts. Yet, unfortunately, MDE is not able to accomplish this with our current outdated data system. Improving this system will allow us to collect the reading well by third grade literacy data and the dyslexia screening data quickly and efficiently and generate reports with a data analyst. It's impossible to make timely and critical decisions to improve literacy outcomes if we don't have the data to show us student outcomes in each region and district and whether or not students are on track to reading proficiently by third grade. We know that reading proficiently by third grade does not start in third grade. Reading proficiency starts at birth with language development, and data collection begins in pre-kindergarten with student progress on foundational reading skills. An improved data system will allow school districts and MDE to more effectively collaborate and respond to student needs based on data in pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, and second grade to ensure that students are reading proficiently by third grade. We also recognize the importance of community involvement in literacy, which includes funding for state libraries to provide science of reading training to staff and to support MDE's partnership with Reach Out and Read. And next slide, please. We are also proposing a number of revisions to what is commonly called the Read Well by Third Grade statute, that is statute 120B12. So I would like to highlight a few key changes here. The first is to revise the local literacy plan template so that it's based in the science of reading. The improved data collection system I described would also allow local literacy plan submissions to be analyzed and a report generated to improve support of literacy outcomes at the district level. In addition to dyslexia screening and identification, each school must identify students in K-2 who are not demonstrating mastery of foundational reading skills, including phonemic awareness, phonics and decoding, and reading fluency, as well as supporting the development of oral language, vocabulary, and reading comprehension skills. This data would be submitted to MDE twice annually, and parents would also be notified. And as I mentioned before, data analysis and reporting of this data to guide MDE's work will be possible once the upgrade to the data collection system is complete. Regarding literacy incentive aid, currently literacy incentive aid may or may not be used by districts to support literacy efforts. Therefore, we propose that these funds be renamed literacy achievement aid and be used to implement comprehensive literacy reform efforts based on the revised 120B12 language. Use of this aid would include offering training and coaching in the science of reading, hiring a licensed reading/dyslexia specialist in each district who has been trained in the science of reading and who will oversee the implementation of the Read Well by Third Grade literacy requirements. The most underperforming schools with lower than 25% proficiency on third grade MCAs must also hire a site-based literacy coach trained in the science of reading, as well as family literacy specialist and resource room resources to partner with families. In addition, MDE will also partner with institutions of higher education to ensure that teacher preparation coursework includes training the science of reading. And we will also partner with PELSBY to revise teacher license renewal requirements to include a science of reading course with an emphasis on foundational reading skills as well as dyslexia.
So I had to interrupt you one moment. Now, members, you'll see that I think this is where we get these two little different pieces here. You found we flipped to the other one. All right, thank you. Yeah, please continue.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and committee members. My name is Bobby Burnham, and I serve as the Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Teaching and Learning. And I'm just briefly going to talk about the systems and structures that we have in place to support the comprehensive literacy reform efforts of our Bold Literacy Plan. And this is to ensure not only that this plan has the impact that we need it to have, but it also has lasting sustainability. So the multi-tiered systems of support framework is the overall umbrella, and the systems and structures in place to support that framework that we are working across the state with schools to implement our evidence-based practices, support systems, the knowledge and beliefs, and of course, the important piece of data and data literacy. Some specifics around each of these systems is at MDE, we have a new MDE literacy unit. We have the BOLD literacy plan, which is our comprehensive literacy framework. We are working to and hope to revise the local literacy plan and support districts in the writing and implementation of their plans, as well as have intentional district and school literacy leadership teams, as well as professional learning communities. We also have a cross-divisional literacy team within MDE and are working through one of our federal grants with the instructional coaching model. And then of course our letters grant, which Amy will update you on here momentarily. We know that as a state, we need to shift our priority to the science of reading. And we know the importance of ensuring that multiple educators and support staff are trained in the science of reading, but also that they receive the supports needed once they're trained to actually implement those practices. So we're looking at our data. We work with districts to do their comprehensive needs assessment and goal setting. And we are looking to have an approved menu of screeners, both universal and for dyslexia, and as well as diagnostic tools and progress monitoring, so that we're able to not only collect a more universal data set, but analyze it as well. And then, of course, it's those evidence-based practices, the systematic, explicit, foundational instruction in those reading skills, the materials and the curriculum that are needed to support the implementation, and those differentiated instructions to meet the student needs. So those are the systems and structures in place that will support this important literacy work across the state. And with that, I'll pass it back to Dr. Schulting to give you an update on the current letters grant we received last session.
Okay. So as of March 24th, we have 2,109 confirmed participants, and that's out of a total of 2,120 current letters training slots. And we're waiting on confirmation for 7 offered slots. And confirmed participants are already receiving textbooks or have received their textbooks and have begun the online training modules. We do have 88 educators on the waiting list, and I imagine that number is higher as of today. We will also offer remaining slots to those on the wait list in order to fill all 2,120 slots as soon as possible. And in addition, we're looking into the possibility of adding some additional slots to meet the significant demand for this training to cover those educators on the wait list.
That's it. Commissioner Mueller, members, do you have any questions or comments for the commissioner or anyone there? Senator Swedinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have 3 questions. So this is pretty exciting stuff you guys are working on. But I do have 3 questions. So there are schools in Minnesota. This is page 9 of the PowerPoint, I guess, or slide 9. Most underperforming schools, those with a 25% or below proficiency rate. There are schools in Minnesota that have less than a 25% reading proficiency rate in third grade.
Who wants that one?
I mean, I'm guessing the answer is not what I want to hear, so it's maybe I don't even want
Commissioner
to ask.
Commissioner Mueller?
Well, thank you, Chair Chamberlain and Senator Swedinski. I think what we know is that we do have student groups who are below that space, and that as a result, we really need to be able to look at each of those individual student groups and to be able to help to provide ongoing support. And then when looking at some of that data, 25%, I think it is something that we do have some schools who do have an instance where that is the case.
Thank you, Senator Slodinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I might have missed this. We've had a lot of presentations this year on letters and proficiency rates and third graders falling behind. Do we have, like, what does proficiency in third grade look like? That, like, I'm total ignorance on my part. Like, they can read a Dr. Seuss book, or I don't know. I mean, I wished we had a 10-minute little tutorial on this is what third grade proficiency looks like. Can you do that in, like, a minute or something?
Dr. Schulting, I imagine you want that one?
So thank you. So I think a more in-depth tutorial might be a great idea for us in the future. I don't think we have that ready to go today, but I think that that is an important question on how we're defining these benchmarks. So the one that we're looking at in the third grade statute typically revolves around MCA third grade performance. One of the proposals, I think, key to what we're talking about here today and the revisions to 120B12 is looking at reading skill development beginning much sooner, so that we can track foundational reading skills, which looks at how students are developing phonemic awareness, which is their awareness of sounds and words. How are they able to map those sounds to letters so that they can decode and read the words in front of them? And can they do that accurately and fluently? And those are the foundational reading skills that start as early as even in pre-kindergarten with letter sound awareness and early alphabetic knowledge. And at this point in time, to your point, our data begins in third grade with the MCA data, which is a higher level look. It does not go down into those specific skills. So that's why we're proposing better understanding of those early foundational reading skills beginning pre-kindergarten K1 and 2, so that we can see our students proficient and mastering those early skills at each grade level prior to this deadline of proficiently by third grade on the MCAs. I hope that helps to answer that question.
Thank you, Doctor. One more. First.
One more. It's getting me going. It's a long process for me to begin to understand this. My third question, you know, as a former educator, we over the years when things like this came upon us, and you know, we'd been there before, done that before, nothing new. It's just a bunch of people issuing mandates upon teachers and telling us how to improve our curriculum. But what's exciting for me, at least on this particular issue, that 2,100 participants have signed up for this program. Are all those participants E12 teachers, or are some of them public librarians, or I mean, who are those 2,100? Do we have numbers of who they represent yet? And that's all my questions. Thanks, you guys, for coming in today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Mueller, you want that one? Or
well, I can pass it to Dr. Schulting because I do know we have tracked that information.
Yes, right. Absolutely. It's exciting because once we have the final numbers wrapped up, we'll be able to produce a detailed summary of those participants. I can tell you the vast majority are educators. We also have included administrators so that they can participate in this training, as there is a separate letters for administrator training that perhaps people may opt to participate in. This funding is for letters units 1 through 8, which is focused and designed for educators, classroom educators. But there have been a number of administrators who have opted to take this training alongside their educators to be able to better support their efforts in the classroom. We also have a number of literacy professors who have signed up for the training through MDE as well. And that's not to say that others aren't signing up for letters training through other funding sources, but of course we can summarize for you who is attending and participating through the MDE funding.
Thank you, Dr. Schulting. Senator Wigger, you had a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. On the screen, I want to thank Senator Newman. If anyone's confused, thanks for letting me.
Yeah, you look tremendously alike. This is really amazing. Brothers.
Yeah. For any of the testifiers, I am struck mostly by the Compass Literacy Roadmap on the statement, all Minnesota children are on a pathway to literacy achievement beginning at birth. And mm-hmm. as we know through that evolving stages you go through, the syllables, the consonants, the phrases, the words 18 months earlier, and then it just grows exponentially. And that area is the key time, and we've have talked about this for decades on the committee in a bipartisan way. And in fact, you know, we've had bipartisan groups that have had lots of support for the early childhood efforts. I see data collection in the BOLD plan, but what I'm wondering is what initially or do you have in mind for adding to the programs for early childhood? It begins at birth, and high quality early education programs are the best way to prepare students to be fully ready for kindergarten and to ultimately be reading proficient and college career ready, you know, our main areas, and particularly for, you know, the gaps that we've talked about. So if you could elaborate more, you know, on specific programs that we can do in addition to collecting data, because I think, you know, the data is really clear that high quality early ed works. There's mm-hmm. needs out there to fund. So
Commissioner Mueller.
Chair Chamberlain, Senator Weegar, thank you very much. And I'll hand it to Assistant Commissioner Bobby Burnham in just a second. I think one of the things is that we do have pieces within legislation and for financial budget is to really look at being able to expand access to early childhood to all qualified four-year-olds. And so know that not only that, but also being able to then utilize funding and wraparound services to support our three-year-olds is important. And thinking about early childhood family educators as well as being able to build a really wide system. And we know that throughout the system, we're not only talking about like birth, but we're also talking all the way through adult and recognize the importance of literacy in the lifespan of a person and thinking about that starting at the very beginning. I will hand it over to Assistant Commissioner Burnham to talk just a little more specific.
Commissioner Burnham.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and Commissioner. Senator Weegar, that is just a great question and a really important point to bring up. And we certainly recognize that at the department, the importance of early learning. As a former kindergarten teacher, I couldn't agree with you more. And so we have focused a lot of the work within the department and in particularly within the Division of Early Learning Services. We redirected a vacancy and transitioned it into an early literacy specialist. So we're going to have someone on staff that specializes in early literacy development. We know the importance of our community partners. That's why with our pre-K proposal, that expanding access is going to be so important, as well as that mixed delivery system and those partnerships between Head Start, school-based programs, and childcare programs. And so we know that part of the intent of that mixed delivery system is a shared responsibility around making sure that each of those programs that are serving our four-year-olds are implementing evidence-based practices, especially in literacy and social and emotional health. We also know that we've had some interest in since we put out the offer for the letters training. Letters does offer an early learning or early childhood component that we are exploring and hope to include that in some of the implementation with our science of reading training opportunities and expand that into our Head Starts and into our community-based childcare providers, because it does start way before they hit that school door before kindergarten. So just appreciate the question, Senator Wiegler. Thank you.
Senator Weegar, another.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was wondering if Dr. Schulting could comment on that question and perhaps with your particular specialty in dyslexia and how the early intervention and program services, you know, can help in whatever we can do.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Schulting?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Senator Weegar and Chair Chamberlain. Thank you for that question, because I think that we do know that there are indicators present in preschool for students who are going to expected to struggle in reading. We can see sometimes those early indicators, as I said, as early as preschool. Some of them are oral language indicators, and some of them are when students in pre-K, for example, do struggle to learn their letter names and their letter sounds and to map letters and sounds together. That is a hallmark indicator of dyslexia and eventual reading difficulty. And so the fact that we can identify those challenges early on gives us even more time to address them. So when students are struggling in reading, we don't have time to waste. We don't have a minute to wait. And we need to make sure that they're getting all of the support and instruction that they need in order to maintain their progress and keep up with expectations for their grade level going into kindergarten and be proficient. And I believe it's absolutely possible. I know it's possible. And we see pockets of that success. And now what we hope to do and plan to do is expand that success across the state. And part of that, as Assistant Commissioner Bobby Burnham mentioned, is expanding our training for our preschool educators. And one of the avenues to do that would be through letters early childhood. It's a separate training, but it's based on the same science of reading information, but it is dedicated to those educators who are working with our youngest students. And it would be nice alignment across the age continuum to support that progress. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Dr. Sheldon. Thank you. Anything else? All right.
Well, Ms. Chair, I'll ask one more. Mr. Chair, and for any of the testifiers, you comment more on the Children's Cabinet and its involvement on this issue, the Health Human Services. You know, it's just not education that's involved in identifying, you know, ways where parents and their kids are getting attention for different services, and I know that doctors, nurses are often involved in programs for reading and handing out books. I've seen places of worship, et cetera, but specifically within the other agencies, comment on a multi-level effort to address reading proficiency.
Commissioner Mueller.
Chair Chamberlain and Senator Wieger, thank you. Our partnership with DHS as well as with the Children's Cabinets is very strong because we know that our roles and our avenues really intersect in a number of different places. And so we are continuing to partner not only with those two, but also with health to really look at the broad scope of what it looks like as an early childhood to support that individual student as well as their family and to ensure not only that their literacy needs and the supports that they need are met, but also recognizing some of the services that are in addition to that really help to shape a learner early on in their education career and pathway. And so the work that we are doing in partnership with them continues to be important. They continue to be strong supporters and advocates in partnering also with childcare community organizations to really look at how we bridge childcare support as well as looking at not in at home as well as centers and thinking about the services that we provide in a school setting that is a pre-kindergarten. And so it's a really strong and concerted effort on our part.
Okay, Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was really pleased to see listed in here collaboration with school libraries as well as public libraries. And I'm wondering if you would maybe just give us an idea of how you would visualize that or how you would see that kind of collaboration in addressing the literacy achievement for our students. Thank you.
What's that one?
I can start.
Okay, Commissioner Mueller.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain and Senator Kunesh. And I'll start, and then I know that both Dr. Schulting and Assistant Commissioner Burnham can can share as well, is that we recognize is that literacy is all around us, and the opportunity to really have libraries in our communities are incredibly important components to literacy efforts. And it's part of not only the way that we think about it for the individual student, but also those wraparound supports that we're thinking about that as a community. And providing training on the science of reading really also helps to shape the way that you think about providing resources to students as well as to families, recognizing that there are times when that literacy development in the English language is not only being developed for the student, but can sometimes also be developed for the adult. And so looking at ways that partnership can really strengthen what not only is happening in the classroom, but then what happens when students are not and families are not in classrooms. And then obviously the role of media specialists and the work that they do are incredibly important in helping to reinforce that and look at a variety of ways to be able to really bring students into that literacy and find a number of different resources to be able to really bring that forward, that passion. I don't know if Dr. Schulting or Assistant Commissioner Burnham, you have an initial piece you'd like to add.
Commissioner Burnham.
Thank you, Chair Chamberlain. Just the acknowledgement and the intent around this is that just libraries play such a vital hub role in communities, and knowing that so many families, you know, that may or may not be their main source of a place to gather, a place to go for resources, a place to go for books. And we just want to make sure that there's some cohesion across in messaging and in practice across the state where families engage. So if they go to libraries, they're getting the same message as if they go to school or if they go to Head Start or if they go to a center-based childcare. So it's just a matter of providing opportunities for coherence in practice and messaging and best practice across the state.
Thank you. All right. So thank you, Commissioner and Dr. Schulting and Commissioner, Assistant Commissioner Burnham. Obviously, this is important to us, but most importantly, important to the educators and the kids who ultimately are served by all this. I appreciate your time and effort on this issue, as do the rest of us and, of course, the kids in the state. So I believe there are some good things in this proposal, things that we can talk about and work with as we proceed. On page 8 about the policy proposals, I would hope that if we're going to require more of the schools for more reporting and a little more paperwork, that we could offset that by having them do some other things. So we can talk about that as we proceed, but overall I think my assessment is there's some good ideas here, certainly multi-leveled, and certainly gets it all a lot of different areas at one time as we move forward. And I think, in my opinion, that's the sort of approach that needs to be taken, all levels, you know, from the bottom all the way to in the beginning in the prep schools, all the way through at different levels and different places in our K-12 system. So I really do think there's good things here, things we can work with, but I would like you to consider that if we're going to require more of schools by reporting and documenting, that we relieve some of that pressure somewhere else so they don't have to do things two or three times. But with that, I thank you again for coming on. I think it's certainly in the right direction and things to look forward to in the end. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing the proposal and the support for many of the ideas, and with the hope that we're able to put together many of these proposals, and you know they're needed. I'm wondering, you know, with the various cost items that are in here, investments, do we have an idea as to how much we might have for a budget for education? I know technically targets aren't required. Hear things, we're sending some things to finance, and could you share with our caucus what the plan might be?
Yeah, we do have a plan. You'll see it Monday.
Pardon me?
You'll see our plan on Monday.
Oh.
You've seen most of it come through here, but you'll see it on Monday. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, we could work
together. I mean, not, yeah, Monday night you'll see it, yeah.
Okay, and then after that?
After that?
After Monday. What's the timetable?
Well, after Monday, when it gets rolled out, then Wednesday we'll do the take any markups, and then we'll send it over to finance, and we'll get her to the floor. It'll be after Easter, of course, after Easter break, before we get to the floor.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, good. That, members, I again thank the commissioner and the team, and thank you all for your thoughts and questions. With that, we are adjourned until Monday, the 4th. So thank you, everybody.